HOAs here on 850 WFTL. I'm Karen Curtis, and I'm here again today, as we are each Sunday at noon, with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates PA. It's a law firm practicing community association law throughout Florida. As our listeners know, we are here each week to answer all of your calls and emails about the issues that make life in your condominium or HOA absolutely crazy from one minute to the next. As always, we would love to get the phone lines going early, answering all of your condominium and HOA questions. So give us a call right here in our studio, 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. Or if you prefer to email us your questions, you can do so by visiting the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and by clicking on the Email the Show tab.
And even if you don't want to send us an email, you should still visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com, where you could learn more about each of us, write in your comments about the show, listen to all of our past shows, sign up for our free seminars at the Hard Rock Hotel, click on our Facebook link and join in our many discussion boards, and you can see who all the show's sponsors are and visit all of their websites as well. And, of course, if you'd like to call our law firm, Glazer & Associates, directly and pick our brains off the air, give us a call at 877-4-CONDO-CRAZE, and you can visit the law firm's website at condo-laws.com. Again, that's condo-laws.com.
Well, last show we gave our top 10 New Year's resolutions for condo and HOA members. We spoke about some horrible predictions for real estate prices in 2012, and we spent a lot of time talking about the annual meetings and elections that take place in our condos and HOAs every year. But because the phones were ringing off the hook, and I see they are again, we just didn't get a chance to finish up discussing all the new laws that associations now have to follow in their elections.
Yeah, that's right, Karen. We certainly hope that the New Year's resolutions are already being followed by all of our listeners. But we definitely have to pick up today where we left off last week, and that's dealing with the annual elections that so many of you are suffering through right now. But first, I got to tell you, it's been a great 24 hours.
Yes.
Because my New York Jets won a great game last
Huge.
Night. And you're hearing it first here. We will beat the Patriots next week in Foxborough. No matter what Scott Shapiro says, we will beat him next week. No question about it.
I say you aren't.
You'll see. You'll see.
That kicker was saved the day.
Came down. You just knew Vinatieri was going to make that 50-yard field goal.
I know.
You just knew the guy is just money in the bank. And it even gets better for me, though. I went out for breakfast this morning with my 5-year-old son, Brandon, like
yeah.
we do each week before the show. And Brandon makes me buy like a scratch-off lottery ticket.
Yeah.
And today, Brandon won $200. Right. So like any good dad and like any good lawyer, I told him I'm going to split it with him right away. And I gave him his $30 right away. Isn't that nice of me?
Yeah, that's right. That's why he's your son and not
yeah,
your client.
Right. Yeah. All right. But you're right. We need to get on with the condo election. Scott, why don't you start us off with some of the new laws?
All right. Let's start off with another new condo law instead of HOA this week. Now, in a condominium association of more than 10 units, co-owners of a unit may not serve as members of the board of directors at the same time, unless they own more than one unit or unless there are not enough eligible candidates to fill all the vacancies on the board at the time of said vacancy.
All right. So again, in a condo, husbands and wives, for example, you guys cannot be on the board at the same time, and nor can any co-owners, unless you guys own more than one unit or unless there aren't enough eligible candidates to fill the vacancies. And I can tell you this law was kind of set in motion by the Florida legislature because they were getting complaints basically of husbands and wives dominating control of their board. Now, I really don't know how big a problem this truly ever was. There probably were a lot more important things to address other than this, but at least for now, this is the state of the law.
Well, I can assume that the entire election process must be done in public and not behind closed doors.
Yeah, absolutely. I can tell you this topic comes up a lot. We get complaints all the time about hearing horror stories about how the ballot envelopes get opened in some back room and nobody can actually see the people counting the ballots. Want to be clear to everybody out there, the ballots have to be opened in the presence of everybody. As a matter of fact, it even requires some audience participation, participation by the unit owners. So none of this backroom stuff, the envelopes get opened in front of everyone.
Okay, and so how does it work? Does the person with the most votes automatically become president?
No, that's another thing we're asked all the time. That's not how it works. The answer is definitely no. after the board members get elected, the board members amongst themselves, they decide who's going to be the officers. And the officers, again, are usually a president, a vice president, a secretary, and a treasurer. And even over the years, I see that people use these terms, you know, interchangeably and incorrectly. Remember, there's definitely a difference between officers and directors. The directors you guys elect, and the directors elect among themselves who the officers are going to be.
The old board caucus, huh,
yeah,
Eric?
Exactly, right.
Okay, well, you would think this election stuff would be less complicated than actual political elections, but I'm not so sure. Mm-hmm. It sounds like there's a lot to know about running your annual election in either a condominium or HOA.
And I can tell you, the truth is, Karen, that sometimes it absolutely is not simple at all. There are dozens and dozens of arbitration cases that are filed each year in both HOAs and condos that deal with irregularities in the election process. And that's why we say it's not a bad idea to have the association's counsel present at the annual meeting. I can tell you that the attorneys in our firm, Glazer & Associates, we've attended hundreds of annual meetings over the years, and we attend many annual meetings each year on behalf of the associations that we represent. So if any of you have any questions about how the process works, or if you need some professional assistance at your annual meeting, give us a call at 877-4-CONDO-CRAZE or 954-983-1112. And by the way, in a condo, all of the election materials are considered official records of the association, and they have to be maintained by the association for 1 year. If you can believe it, however, the HOA statute doesn't contain the same language. Yet, just further proof that there needs to be one statute that governs both type of associations. Tell you what, why don't we grab Sheila from Tamarack?
Yes.
Sheila, you're on the air.
Hi.
How are you, Sheila?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I'm calling about our condo at screenings verbally explains the rules and regulations to people, and now we're thinking of putting it down on paper and having an actual form. Do we have to give 14 days notice?
And do you need to give 14 days notice what, to advise people of the rules and regulations?
To advise people of the rules and regulations,
okay,
regulations that we're going to put on paper and enforce.
Okay, here's what the statute says. If the condominium association, if the board is going to adopt new rules and regulations regarding unit use, right, then you absolutely have to give unit owners 14-day notice of that meeting where the board's going to adopt it.
All right. And remember, when you're adopting rules and regulations at your condominium, a board of directors can only govern use of the common elements. You can't make rules regarding people's actual private use of their own property inside their units. Only the common elements.
Absolutely. It's only the rules and regulations that we will like to enforce is only for the common area.
Well, make sure that the rules and regulations generally, yes, I agree, should be adopted with 14 days advance notice.
Right, but it's only the board has the authority to do that.
Right, correct. The community doesn't vote on adoption of rules. The boards of directors make the rules for the community.
Okay, thank you very much.
No problem. Thanks for the call, Sheila.
My question.
No problem.
I love your show.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that, Sheila. All right. Okay. And by the way, even if if your association survives their annual election and you do in fact elect a new board of directors, those directors now have a new obligation as well. And that is, of course, to get certified within 90 days. You know, I know we keep talking about this each week, but we are now smack dab in the middle of prime election season. So, again, all you new directors who may be listening to the show, you are now required by Florida law to get certified within 90 days on July 1st. Remember, that new law went into effect for condominium board members. And, again, it states within 90 days of getting elected, you either get certified or you are removed from your board, and you can get certified by attending a state-approved course. And again, I was the first attorney in the state to design and have approved by the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation a course that I teach, and it allows me to certify you as eligible to serve on a Florida condominium board of directors. The whole course is about 2.5 hours, and the Department of Business and Professional Regulation also approved the course for 4 hours of continuing education credit for all community association managers. And I can tell you that a lot of community association managers have already taken the course. And I, for one, am flattered by their attendance and participation during the seminar. They really tend to add a lot to the conversation and discussion during the seminar.
And, Eric, you left out the best part of the seminars.
Which is?
The brownies.
The cookies are great, right?
The Hard Rock. Rice Krispies.
Yeah, they do a bang-up job that the Hard Rock Bakery
is. Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, you can sit there and be a new board member and read the entire condominium statute, which is pretty voluminous, and then sign an affidavit saying you're aware of each and every regulation. Or you can come to the Hard Rock and listen to a knowledgeable attorney named Eric Glazer, who's going to do a great job presenting everything to you, and have delicious brownies.
Right.
I think it's a pretty easy...
For the brownies alone, right? Absolutely. Yeah. And here's the best part, of course. It's held live and it's held in person at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. The course is absolutely free. Everybody who stays from beginning to end walks out with a certificate of completion. It's suitable for framing, certifying that you're now legally eligible to serve on a Florida Condominium Board of Directors. And as a matter of fact, we even now provide a summary of what you learn. So you actually walk out with not just a certificate, but with a couple of pages of documents telling you, in fact, what you learned today.
Wow.
Scott, tell us what we cover.
Oh, well, we cover just about everything you need to know as a new board member. We cover topics like budgets and reserves, financial reporting, condominium operations, records maintenance, access to records, dispute resolution, and a whole lot more. In addition, Eric highlights all the new condominium laws, and they'll all be taught in detail at the course. And, of course, you know, listen, you can read a book, you can, you know, take a computer seminar, whatever, but here you can ask questions. You're going to have a guy that's been practicing this law for almost 20 years exclusively answering your questions at this seminar. And, again, the brownies.
Right. And I'm proud to say that since teaching a seminar, we now have certified over 500 people as eligible to serve on our condominium board of directors in Florida. So if you're interested in attending the course and getting certified for free at the Hard Rock, our next seminar is actually in a few days on January 20th at 7 o'clock. It's sold out, but we encourage you to come early and get on the standby line. You can still sign up for the February 24th seminar, but there are only a handful of seats left, and there's only one way to register. You have to go to www.condocrazeandhoas.com. Click on the link, fill out the form, that's it. You'll get email confirmation that you're registered. Again, go to www.condocrazeandhoas.com. Click on the link, fill out the form, and next week we'll announce the date for our March seminar. And like we do each week, if you sign up during the show, we'll have some fun thanking each of you personally on the air. And by the way, about a dozen of the show sponsors will also be in attendance with display tables, and they'll be available to meet with everyone during breaks and after the show. And talk about a break, now is probably the best time to do that. We're taking your calls at 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585, and we will be back right after this break.
The law firm of Glazer & Associates is asked all the time, why can't we be friends? Board members once elected have no idea how difficult and time-consuming it would be. They learn quickly that their decisions must be guided by statutes, declarations, and bylaws. At times, it feels overwhelming, especially when homeowners are constantly complaining. Let Glazer & Associates help your board and homeowners be friends. Whether it's collecting past due assessments, amending your documents, or answering your questions, or if you're a community member involved in a disagreement with your association, Glazer & Associates will handle your legal matters with personal care by professionals who appreciate your business. They know you have a choice for your association legal services and want to show you why they are the right choice. Visit their website at florida-association-law.com or call 954-983-1112 for more information. Let them restore the friendship between neighbors. This advertisement has been provided by a non-attorney spokesperson.
Are you a small or medium-sized condominium or homeowners association in need of management services but just don't think it's in your budget? At FLCAM, we realize that there are associations that need help managing their communities but don't want a management company dictating how you live and who you do business with. FLCAM lets you manage your association your way. Let us take care of the tedious and time-consuming tasks of collecting receivables, paying bills, negotiating with vendors, and maintaining your records from our off-site office. This allows for professional management at substantial savings for your association. Call us at 954-961-7000. Call FLCAM today for a free, no-obligation proposal for management services for your community. FLCAM, management your way. Call us at 954-961-7000. That's 954-961-7000. Or visit our website at fl-cam.com. License CAB 3289.
Almost every large building project comes with headaches. Your contractor's a nightmare. The engineer's on a different page. There's problems with the municipality, etc. Well, no more. Call Florida Construction Project Management and say goodbye to the headaches. Florida Construction Project Management can oversee any condominium, hotel, office, or other large building project and get it done as you need it done. They have no affiliation with any contractors, engineers, or suppliers. They work for you. They'll inform you of the progress, keep everyone on the same page, and ensure you're not being taken for a ride. From getting the licenses, insurance, and best quotes to making sure everything's done to code and on time, Florida Construction Project Management will get it done. Why spend personal time getting headaches? Call 954-445-0862 or visit flcpm.com. Florida Construction Project Management. Finally, a company that can help. 954-445-0862 or flcpm.com. License number CGC 1513108.
Crumbling concrete, peeling paint, waterproofing problems? No problem. If you're a building owner or management company, finding solutions to your problems doesn't have to be painful or costly.
Promax Restoration and Paint.
Whether it's a perimeter wall or parking garage, balcony or pool deck, structural repair, waterproofing, and painting is their specialty. It has been since 1994. At Promax Restoration and Paint, they've seen and successfully repaired and painted just about everything when it comes to high-rise, mid-rise, townhomes, buildings of any shape and size. Yes, their clients have included Marriott, Hilton, Doral, and many luxury condos. But it doesn't mean that Promax Restoration and Paint is expensive. These clients have chosen Promax for their experience and quality workmanship, but also for their ability to offer very competitive pricing. So see their work and see what they can do for you at restorationandpaint.com. Promax Restoration and Paint. 800-624-9371. That's 800-624-9371.
Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Again, I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates. We're taking your calls here about any questions you have on condominiums or HOAs. The number is 877-850-8585. Give us a call.
All right. Our listeners may remember that a few weeks ago, we spoke about a case in Broward County that attorney Christy Phillips was handling at our firm. By the way, Christy's probably listening. She has the flu really bad.
Oh.
So, Christy, if you're listening, feel good and get better. And we spoke about a case that she was handling where she was seeking sanctions against a bank and its law firm in a foreclosure case because they filed the first mortgage foreclosure case on a condo unit. They got a final judgment and then refused to get a sale date. And then they filed a brand new mortgage foreclosure case, but this time on behalf of an entirely different bank, believe it or not. And in each case, the complaint that was filed that was sworn to by one of those robo-signers that we keep talking about and hearing about so much in the news. And, of course, each one of those complaints, the person signing it, was swearing somehow that both of these banks held the first mortgage on the same exact piece of property. You can't make this stuff up. But if you remember, that Broward case is now set for an evidentiary hearing to determine sanctions. And in the meantime, the judge refused to let counsel withdraw from the case, even though they say they're no longer representing the bank in question and have even been fired by the bank. Judge won't let them out.
Well, guess what, Eric? They're doing the same thing in Dade County right now. We were reading an article in the paper this week, and it looks like Judge Lester Langer denied Chase Bank's request to delay a condominium foreclosure on an Aventura condominium unit and instead ordered a fine of $100 per day unless the bank moved their case forward. And he gave them until January 15th to proceed to go to trial or to get a summary judgment, which is basically a judgment that you're seeking when the facts aren't in dispute. And in his order, Judge Langer said he's going to allow the bank to delay the this is really, really strange because it states that the bank's delay departs from the essential requirements of the law because the stay will not preserve the status quo and will only be prejudicial to the condo association.
Right,
Eric, maybe you can elaborate on that better than I did.
Absolutely. And, okay, there may be a changing tide here, and this is good news. 2 weeks ago, we spoke about a great case out of the 5th DCA where a judge allowed the condo association to force a sale date of a bank foreclosed unit when the bank was deliberately dragging their feet. And they did that in that case in the interest of protecting the owners that live in the association. And now we have Judge Langer in Dade County also acknowledging that bank delays wind up hurting the other members of the condominium association. And that's great news that the court is actually placing this in their orders and their opinions. They are realizing that the ones that take it on the chin are the condominium unit owners who wound up living in the unit, because you guys pay for everyone else, obviously, that isn't paying. So even though, quite frankly, your legislature has done nothing to help speed up the foreclosure process and help out condo and HOA residents, it seems as if the courts are actually hearing your cries for help. So we'll keep you advised, of course, should that ruling be appealed. And I believe Judge Langer's on record as saying, yeah, they probably will appeal.
Yeah, but
he did the right thing, no two ways about it.
But, you know, the fact of the matter is, Eric, the way he wrote the order and saying that it doesn't preserve the status quo by delaying it. You know, court orders, especially ones before any type of judgment, are supposed to preserve the status quo. And if they don't, you know, they're going to be appealable. I mean,
absolutely.
We've appealed a number of those ourselves.
No two ways about it. If you allow the bank to delay, it doesn't keep the status quo in place. It's simply hurts the unit owners that simply can't afford to keep that non-paying unit running.
Because remember, in every one of these foreclosure cases, if it involves a condominium unit, the condominium association is a defendant also, and they're actually being damaged every month their assessments don't get paid. So that's not keeping the status quo. So I really like what he did here.
No two ways about it. And again, week after week on the show, we talk about changes in the collection and foreclosure process that actually take place. And it is imperative for associations to keep track of what's taking place in our courts, obviously, because that should be guiding what you guys do with all of your collection and foreclosure cases. And it's pretty obvious that the momentum is starting to swing at least a little bit in favor of the associations and against the bank. So if your association's strategy was to sit back and wait for the banks to finish their foreclosures and do nothing in the meantime, well, I can tell you that that may very well be the wrong thing to do right now, again, because the tide is starting to change.
Yeah, that's absolutely true, Eric. And even if your association doesn't want to take back title to these units, you may still want to file a motion or do something and get involved with the court case to force the bank to speed up their foreclosure case along. I know a lot of the attorneys in our office, we set these things for trial so they'll move along, because there is no question that the courts are realizing more and more that bank delays are hurting the residents in condos and HOAs, because the people who live there and pay their assessments and do everything right wind up also supplementing the units and the properties that remain in foreclosure, because the budget's the budget and it still has to be met.
No matter what, people are paying or not paying, those bills got to get paid. So again, if our listeners want some advice on your association's collection matters, give us a call at Glazer & Associates at 877, the number 4, Condo Craze, or 954-983-1112. We have a whole team of attorneys and paralegals at our office devoted exclusively to representing associations in their collection matters. So again, if you want some advice or second opinion on these collection matters, again, feel free to speak to any one of our lawyers, again, at 954-983-1112. Let's go to Tony in Fort Lauderdale.
Hi, Tony.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
How are you, Tony?
When I first tuned in, I caught the very tail end, and you said that the association can't require, can only make laws regarding the common area and not what you do inside the home?
Well, actually, you got to look at the bylaws of the condominium association.
Okay.
Certain bylaws of condominium associations, and again, it's not in all. As a matter of fact, it's probably more of a rarity. They actually say you can make reasonable rules and regulations regarding unit use. But again, generally speaking, boards have the right to make reasonable rules and regulations regarding use of the common areas. However, you got to look at your bylaws.
Let me ask you a specific question. I have there's an old bylaw that supposedly, I haven't seen it, but an old bylaw stating that people living on the – it's only a two-story building – throughout, and I live on the top floor, and they said back in the mid-80s when these were built, people on the top floor could not could only have carpeting, except maybe a little bit in the kitchen and certain areas. And I've always wanted to get up, throw out the carpet, and do tile, because the times have changed, and they have these quiet, you know, you could put tile, which today that really doesn't make much noise.
Right.
But people downstairs aren't going to vote to change the law.
Well, a couple of things.
And is there anything? Is there anything I can do? Or?
That provision that you're talking about, is it contained in the Declaration of Condominium, or is it contained as a rule and regulation? Big difference. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And if you don't know, that's right. You may want to take a look at us, and again, look at it. Give us a call off the air again, 954-983-1112. But I can tell you, if it's in your declaration, you may have a hard time doing anything about it. If it's simply a rule and regulation, it's got to be reasonable, right? Number one, the board has to have the right to even make rules and regulations regarding the interior of a unit. But you have to check and see where it's contained. Because if it's just a rule, and it may not be reasonable if you can put down soundproofing, okay? Because I can tell you a lot of municipalities.
I have your number. I will check it out. Thank you so much.
No problem. We get calls like that all the time, and I know that Tony must have hung up, but for the listeners that are still listening, we get calls like that all the time about putting down soundproofing. A lot of municipalities actually have code enforcement division where it can tell you exactly what type of soundproofing you need to put down so that you don't bother your neighbors underneath. Make sure you do that. I'm getting a little message here that we got to go to a break. We're at 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. We'll be right back after this on Condo Craze and HOAs.
Is your condominium or HOA in need of accounting services? Look no further. Gerstel, Rosen & Goldenberg is one of South Florida's largest accounting and auditing firms, as recognized by the South Florida Business Journal, and is one of the few accounting firms uniquely specialized to provide accounting services to their growing condominium and homeowner association clientele throughout Florida. With primary offices in Aventura and Boca Raton, satellite offices in Naples and Orlando, and a professional staff of 65, Gerstel, Rosen & Goldenberg is prepared to meet the needs of any condominium or HOA in the state. The professionals at Gerstel, Rosen & Goldenberg also have experience working with timeshares, cooperatives, hotel condominiums, mixed-use buildings, and ancillary operations like restaurants, spas, and country clubs. Put their 25 years experience in your corner. Gerstel, Rosen & Goldenberg, 305-937-0116. That's 305-937-0116 or grgcpa.com.
Do you pay condo fees? Did you know the master insurance policy premium can account for up to 70% of an association budget? Since 1934, Smith Watson Parker has built its reputation on excellent customer service. Because they are entrusted with the insurance for over 1,500 associations, Smith Watson Parker has access to more insurance companies than most agencies, allowing it to offer the most competitive pricing. Smith Watson Parker is also equipped with a commercial permanently installed generator, so they are up and running right after a storm. Smith Watson Parker agent Sean Virtue empowers board members and property managers with knowledge. Anyone can say that they will tailor a policy just for you, but Sean takes the time to explain exactly what is covered, translates insurance lingo, so you know exactly what you are purchasing. Call 954-815-9377 to speak with Sean Virtue about lowering your association insurance premium. That's 954-815-9377. Or visit condoinsuranceexplained.com. That's condoinsuranceexplained.com for the latest insurance information directly affecting Florida condos and HOAs. You deserve to understand what you're purchasing and only pay for what you need. Empower your association with knowledge, savings, and peace of mind. Sean Virtue has a solid history of lowering insurance premiums, which can help lower association dues. To learn more, visit condoinsuranceexplained.com or call Sean Virtue 954-815-9377 to schedule a master policy review today.
Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Again, I'm Karen Curtis with Eric Glazer and attorney Scott Shapiro. Eric is, of course, Eric Glazer and Associates, PA. He's an attorney practicing condo and HOA law. We're taking your calls at 877-850-8585. That's 877-850-8585. And we do have Catherine on the line from Lake Worth.
Catherine, you there?
Yes, thank you. My question is, in the new regulations where the condo can start denying a unit owner vote if they're delinquent in their assessment.
Yes.
And there's a few other things where they can collect the rent and everything. Does that, all those procedures require the 14 days notice to that specific unit owner?
Well, yeah, what the statute actually says is that the board actually should vote to suspend a unit owner's right to vote. No two ways about it. Absolutely. It requires that first. Again,
okay.
The association,
in an open meeting, they have to vote to suspend that particular unit owner.
The association may suspend the right of an owner to use the common areas. It may suspend the right to vote. And I'm saying, since the statute says may, I suggest to all the associations that unless and until the association actually has a vote to decide to actually suspend the rights of unit owners, then, you know, don't wait until the night of the election to actually do it.
Okay, so they need to take some steps prior to denial.
Right, again, because the statute, if a literal reading of the statute says the association may suspend the right of a unit owner. It doesn't say that the person's right is automatically suspended. The way I read that statute is the association may or may not choose to suspend the unit owner's right to use the common areas or to vote. So if they're going to do it, they better have a board vote first and don't spring it on the owners the night of the election.
Okay, now does it have to be for a specific unit or can it be a general vote?
Great question. I don't have a problem doing it by a general vote. That way you don't wind up embarrassing specific people that may live there. In other words, the board can just have an item on the agenda that says, okay, we're going to suspend the rights to vote for anybody who's delinquent more than 90 days. All in favor say aye, and that's good enough. You don't need to specifically say units 101, 102, 102, you know, et cetera.
Right. Do they then have to send a 14-day notice to the specific units that they're going to deny the vote?
The statute doesn't say that in terms of vote. It says if you're going to deny the right to use the common areas, then you absolutely have to notify the owner and or the tenant in writing. Doesn't say 14 days. It just says you have to give notice in writing.
Yeah. Okay. How about the use or the collection of rental from a rental unit?
Okay.
Does that require any notice?
Yeah, the association must place the tenant on notice. It actually, believe it or not, I don't believe it requires the association to even place the unit owner on notice. It only requires placing the tenant on notice. The tenant has a right to respond saying whether or not they actually paid the rent to the landlord or not. And again, just to clarify, a lot of confusion in regards to that statute. A lot of associations think that they have the right to demand the entire amount of the rent from the tenant. The association, at least the way I interpret that statute, the association cannot take the entire amount of the rent. What the association can do, for instance, is let's say the association dues are $300 each month, but the rent is $1,000 each month. The association can take the maintenance is $300 a month, the association can take the $300 a month, but the other $700 got to go to the landlord.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, great question. Really appreciate it. Okay, let's also thank, by the way, Abel Ruiz, who during the break was smart enough to sign up for the Condo Craze Board Certification Seminar, and that's from River Mill Association in Lake Worth. Again, anyone else who's interested in signing up for the seminar, just go to www.condocrazeandhoas, fill out the form. Again, the next one is the 20th of January. All right, it's free, remember that. On to another hot topic. By the way, the phone lines are open, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585, and let's move on to another topic. Lots of questions actually come up from the floor during our seminars about bankruptcy, and this week there was a really interesting and disturbing piece of news here in South Florida that said that personal bankruptcy filings rose a whopping 40% in 2010, believe it or not. And we hear from associations all the time that a unit owner filed for bankruptcy like over a year or two ago, and the association hasn't received a dime in assessments all that time. And we tell associations that just because an owner files for bankruptcy, that doesn't mean that the owner doesn't have to pay the assessments. Again, I want to clarify that. Just because someone files for bankruptcy, it doesn't mean they don't have to pay the assessments. And it also doesn't mean that the association's hands are tied forever, like some associations unfortunately believe them to be. And generally speaking, an owner has to pay the condo and HOA dues as they come due during the course of that bankruptcy case. And if they don't, the association can ask the bankruptcy court judge for what's called relief from the automatic stay. And that allows the association to restart the foreclosure process, going basically across the street back to state court.
And remember, there's something else that's very, very important with respect to bankruptcy, and that's what type of bankruptcy was actually filed. Was it a Chapter 7, which is a dissolution of debts, or was it a Chapter 13, where the unit owner basically has to pay all of the arrearages, but over a payment plan that can last as long as 5 years?
Right. You got to know what, you know, we have these discussions at the seminars all the time, and people say, unit owner filed bankruptcy, and they have no idea under which chapter. Again, very important to know which chapter, because that may determine your rights. And by the way, Margo, I see you're on the phone. We'll take your call in a minute or so. Just let's finish up the bankruptcy topic. By the way, there's a very interesting bankruptcy court ruling recently by Judge Mark in Miami, and it actually has somewhat to do with our last phone call. And those members on a board of directors and those community association managers who are listening to this show right now better turn up the volume and listen to this really carefully. And I mean it seriously. Because you know that new law that we were just talking about that allows the association to suspend the rights of a delinquent unit owner to use the common elements like the pool and the exercise room? Well, Judge Mark, he just ruled that once an owner files a bankruptcy petition, the association must let the owner use all of the common elements, and that the suspension of those privileges is a violation of the federal automatic stay. The court ruled in effect that the statute was a coercion to compel that debtor to pay the condo assessments, which the bankruptcy code will not tolerate.
Wow.
Yeah.
So be careful. Listen up, everyone, especially associations and board members. If an owner files a bankruptcy petition, don't make any attempts whatsoever to collect the debt without the approval from the bankruptcy court first. And definitely don't suspend their rights to use the common areas, or you can find yourself sitting in the defendant's corner of a bankruptcy courtroom facing contempt charges, punitive damages, and attorney's fees.
Yeah, wow. You absolutely can. It's a real serious ruling, and associations really need to heed the warning given in that case. Again, as Scott said, you don't want to see yourself sitting on the wrong side of a table in a contempt proceeding in bankruptcy court. Someone files a bankruptcy petition, let them use the pool, okay? That's the bottom line. Let them work out. In any event, if you feel that your association has a bankruptcy case going on forever with no end in sight, and if you want a second opinion, or if your association simply has a question about the bankruptcy process, give us a call at our office again at 877, the number 4, Condo Craze, or 954-983-1112, and the attorneys at Glazer & Associates will be glad to help you out. Let's take Margo in Miami. How are you, Margo?
Hi, Eric.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. The reason I'm calling is that I have a unit above me that has been making continuous noise, like every 2 or 3 minutes, probably 18 hours of the day. Mm. Just subtle little noises like dropping objects, and I think that he may have one of those game machines.
Okay.
And it reverberates through my floor.
Right.
But I've complained to the association, and they said they couldn't do anything until they really knew which unit it came from. So it was hard to pinpoint the unit, but I did find the units. And the association has sent letters to these people,
right,
which didn't improve things. So I called the police, and it kind of improved it, but it's still going on. And I'm just wondering, what can I expect from the association to help me with this problem?
Well, let me put it this way. Quite frankly, you need to expect more from yourself. And I'll say it, I'm saying it to you that way because what I didn't hear from you respectfully is that you took any sound recordings or, you know, video recordings of actually what's going on. We get calls in our office about these types of problems all the time. And unlike, or I should say, just like any other case, it requires proof should you have to go to either an arbitration case or a court proceeding, okay? In every declaration of condominium, there's a nuisance provision. And basically, the provision says that you can't use your unit in such a manner as to create a nuisance to your fellow neighbors. Now, if that's what's happening here, you have a right to go to court, you know, again, and or an arbitration proceeding, and get an injunction against that unit owner saying, you know, you're going to use your unit in a manner that doesn't disturb Margot. But the only way you're able to prove that up is to actually walk in with some evidence. So what I'm going to tell you to do first is when this is occurring, make sure you have some sound recordings or some video recordings, because without that, quite frankly, you have nothing. Okay? So that's the first thing.
What kind of video recording? I mean, what would be strong enough to pick up these sounds?
Well, again, you should have something where you can prove to a judge or, you know, or an arbitrator that this is actually going on. If not, you know, you're in effect tying the finder of facts' hands. They got to be able to see and, you know, and hear what you're hearing in order for them to make an intelligent decision on the case. Okay?
Or would a witness, witness that the association would
A witness is great. Obviously, witness testimony is always a good thing to have. But I'd actually, if you can, if it's possible to record it, I'd actually love to show, again, a judge or an arbitrator what the actual problem is. That would be your best evidence. And then once you do that, in a condo, you'd probably have to go to arbitration first and get an injunction based upon that nuisance provision. Okay? And that's something we can help you with, again, off the air. Give us a call at the office, 954-983-1112. Margo, I'm sorry, we got to take a break. Joanne,
thank you,
no problem. Joanne from Delray, we see you there, but we got to run to a break, and we'll take your calls right after this. Again, the lines are open, 877-850-8585, and we'll be back right after this.
Condominium associations are facing significant challenges today, and with those challenges come the need for special help from a special property management firm. That firm is Miami-based KW Property Management and Consulting, comprised of a team of professionals who are meeting today's challenges. Staffed by CPAs and long-term property managers, KW brings financial controls, budgeting discipline, contract oversight, and strong vendor negotiation skills to its growing portfolio of clients. They call it the KW difference. The real estate market has changed, and so has the role of property managers. They're here to preserve the value of a valuable asset, your home. And today, that role involves strong financial controls and traditional property management responsibilities. Please visit kwpropertymanagement.com or call 305-476-9188. That's kwpropertymanagement.com. You'll see what they mean by the KW difference.
So, enjoy sitting around listening to Condo Craze and HOAs? Good. But when the show is done and you'd like to get in the shape of your life, get up and get to it with Cruise. Body by Cruise is the personal trainer of the area's best hard bodies. Their training and techniques will help you get results like never before. And Cruise makes it easy. If your home or condo has gym facilities, Body by Cruise comes to you. The hassles of signing up and going to a gym often don't pan out. So Body by Cruise trains in the privacy of your own home. Cruise has trained well-known fitness gems like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Click the website to see more. Bodybycruise.com. That's bodybycruise.com. Or call 305-766-6877. You can get in the shape of your life. You can get results. All you need is the proper training, motivation, and know-how. And that's what you get with personal trainer Body by Cruise. Click bodybycruise.com and they'll come to you. Or call now, 305-766-6877. Ask Eric. He's been training with Cruise for over 4 years.
Someday, you will need insurance, and for that day, you'll be glad you wrote down Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. Why? Because Insurco virtually insures everything. They're a full-line insurance agency that'll put together the best possible coverage and premium for almost anything. Need homeowners or condo insurance? Call Insurco. Need auto or motorcycle insurance? Call Insurco. How about golf cart insurance or trailer and RV insurance? Just call Insurco for a free quote. 1-888-298-8838. They're open every day.
From renter's insurance, officer's and director's insurance, and personal liability umbrellas to all types of business insurance, boat insurance, cancer policies, life, health, and annuities, all you need is InsureCo. Get a free quote at 1-888-298-8838. They service Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach. Speak English and Spanish. InsureCo Insurance and Financial Services. It's the only name you need. 1-888-298-8838. Office at 14401 West Sunrise Boulevard in Sunrise, inside Edmore Chevrolet.
The law firm of Glazer & Associates is asked all the time, why can't we be friends? Board members once elected have no idea how difficult and time-consuming it would be. They learn quickly that their decisions must be guided by statutes, declarations, and bylaws. At times, it feels overwhelming, especially when homeowners are constantly complaining. Let Glazer & Associates help your board and homeowners be friends. Whether it's collecting past due assessments, amending your documents, or answering your questions, or if you're a community member involved in a disagreement with your association, Glazer & Associates will handle your legal matters with personal care by professionals who appreciate your business. They know you have a choice for your association legal services and want to show you why they are the right choice. Visit their website at florida-association-law.com or call 954-983-1112 for more information. Let them restore the friendship between neighbors. This advertisement has been provided by a non-attorney spokesperson.
Crumbling concrete, peeling paint, waterproofing problems? No problem. If you're a building owner or management company, finding solutions to your problems doesn't have to be painful or costly. Promax Restoration and Paint. Whether it's a perimeter wall or parking garage, balcony or pool deck, structural repair, waterproofing, and painting is their specialty. It has been since 1994. At Promax Restoration and Paint, they've seen and successfully repaired and painted just about everything when it comes to high-rise, mid-rise, townhomes, buildings of any shape and size. Yes, their clients have included Marriott, Hilton, Doral, and many luxury condos. But it doesn't mean that Promax Restoration and Paint is expensive. These clients have chosen Promax for their experience and quality workmanship, but also for their ability to offer very competitive pricing. So see their work and see what they can do for you at restorationandpaint.com. Promax Restoration and Paint. 800-624-9371. That's 800-624-9371.
Welcome back to the final segment of Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Again, I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates. Again, we're taking your calls at 877-850-8585. That's 877-850-8585. And we've had Joanne holding on the line for quite some time from Delray Beach. Joanne, you're on the air.
Yes, I live in a condo complex here in Delray, and we had an assessment, and people aren't paying the assessment or the HOA. I was just wondering why they can still have access to internet, cable, water.
Interesting question. And at least as of right now, the statute is being interpreted to prohibit associations from turning off cable TV. If you look at the statute closely, really what the statute was designed to do is to prevent people from using certain places on the condominium, like the swimming pool, like, you know, the common areas, like the exercise room and stuff like that. And it's not meant to suspend the right to have certain utilities. There may be some clarification in that regard in the next legislative session, which is soon coming up. But at least right now, I can tell you that the answer is no, you can't cut off cable TV. And as a matter of fact, we had former state representative Julio Robina on the show before, and he was one of the primary sponsors and or drafters of the legislation, and he too agreed that it wasn't designed to take away cable TV services. As a matter of fact, one of the main reasons also being is that a lot of us now get our cable TV and our telephone and our internet and everything bundled, right, in one package. So it's quite possible, Joanne, that by terminating someone's cable, you're even maybe terminating their phone service. And I don't think you know, that's something that we'd certainly want to do.
Okay, now let's say they don't get enough money for the assessment and people just don't pay. What happens now to the complex here?
The reality is those units typically get turned over to the attorney for the association, and those unit owners wound up getting leaned and or foreclosed. I mean, that's the step. And if the association doesn't have enough money to make that repair as needed for that special assessment, and that repair simply isn't going to get made.
You know, well, it's not really a repair. Yeah. We don't have people paying the HOA, so we had an assessment. So we all have to cover for these people that aren't paying. And I'm just wondering, what if the association just doesn't have enough money? What happens to this complex? We can't pay the water bill, the cable bill. What happens?
Well, again, that's something that everybody who's listening to the show right now understands that and may be going through exactly the same thing. We represent many, many associations. As a matter of fact, during the break, sitting on my left here is Sean Virtue from Smith Watson Parker, and he's telling me about an association that he actually has some familiarity with where only 10 out of 72 units are paying their bills.
Wow.
I can tell you we've represented associations over the last few years, particularly, let's say, in the downtown Miami area, where we would represent, you know, a 400, 500 unit complex, and I can tell you that maybe 200 of those units at some point was in some form of collection.
Yeah, and basically to answer your question, Joanne, if the bills don't get paid, what might happen is your utilities are just going to get shut off for the entire building. And that's a pretty drastic thing. I hope that, you know, some of the utilities up there are going to, you know, work with you, work with the association and the board to maybe find some solutions and maybe a payment plan or something. But ultimately, it's just going to be the same thing as if a single homeowner wasn't paying their utilities. It's going to get shut off.
Not much difference. And I can tell you, you know, we've been lucky. We represented a lot of associations in negotiations with municipalities. And quite frankly, most of them understand what a lot of associations are going through. And when faced with the option of turning off your water or allowing for an extended payment plan and waiving late fees and interest and things like that, the municipalities have been nothing but helpful in that regard. Sorry, Joanne, but we're running out of time, and we want to grab Stanley from North Miami before we end. How are you, Stanley?
Hello?
Stanley, you're on the air.
Very well, thank you. My problem is quite like the lady preceding me. We're in terrible financial straits, and the board is contemplating a 30% increase in maintenance. My question to you is there a legal limit on a single...
Very interesting. This is one of the questions that I routinely ask at the Condo Craze Board Certification Seminar. A lot of directors out there think, for some reason, that the assessments can't go up by more than 15% in 1 year.
Well, this is a maintenance, not a...
Well, yeah, in other words, that the condo maintenance can't go up by more than 15% in 1 year.
Yes.
A lot of associations are under a misguided assumption that there's a cap, and I can tell you there is no cap. I mean, I want to make it really simple. The bottom line is the association's bills at the beginning of the year, you make out a budget, and the bills are X. And if whatever those bills are, you have to make a budget that's going to get those bills paid. If it means that your monthly maintenance is going to go up by 10%, 20%, 50%, or even 100%, well, guess what? That's what it's going to do. It's going to go up.
Okay. As long as that's legal, I'm satisfied with what you're telling me.
No problem.
And I love your show. I listen to it every Sunday.
Thank you so much, Stanley. We appreciate
it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, that is a very, very hot topic. Again, it comes up routinely at all of our seminars. A lot of people get confused with that 15% number, and that 15% number only means that if it goes up by more than 115% in 1 year, then the unit owners have a right to propose what's called a substitute budget. If they get like 10% of the unit owners to sign a petition asking for a substitute budget, I can tell you that I'm practicing almost 20 years and it's never happened. So again, boards, you have an obligation to pass a budget that makes you pay your bills. Nothing short of that. I can see that another week has gone by and we're just about out of time. Again, thank you everyone for tuning in for yet another week. It's been a great show today. The phones were nuts. Again, if you want to reach us during the week at Glazer & Associates, 954-983-1112, and enjoy the rest of your week. See you next week, guys.